Welcome to the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast. Welcome to episode 14 of the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast. Firstly, I'd like to congratulate a member of my site, Philip, who uses the login name Damax, as Philip was chosen as the winner of the November MBP Active Member Prize. Philip chose a photo I made in November this year with my EOS 5D of a hawk in a tree at dusk. The moon was rising behind the hawk, kind of small in the frame, but adding to the mood. If you want to take a look at the shot, which I titled Moonhawk, it is number 754 in my online gallery at martinbaileyphotography.com. Also, before we move on to the main topic for today, I'd like to apologise for and correct a mistake I made in episode 12 on my digital workflow. I said in the show that the capture sharpener in the PhotoKit sharpener plugin for Photoshop is for use with scanned film only, and for that reason I don't use it. However, a listener and member of my site, Howard Grill, kindly pointed out that the capture sharpener does in fact have applications for images taken with a digital camera. Indeed, another look at the pull-down list from the plugin does reveal that it comes with sharpeners for images made with digital cameras and scanning backs, etc. In the manual, it recommends that you use these early in the workflow to be able to see the effects of the sharpening. I personally probably won't be doing this myself in my workflow, but the options and the description of the use is there, and I missed it. So thanks again, Howard. Thanks for pointing that out, and I stand corrected. So let's get down to this week's main topic. Following a recent thread in the photography forum on my site on white balance, I'm going to talk about how I deal with white balance. I'll put a link to the thread in the notes for this episode. I'm not going to go into too much technical detail about why we need to balance our whites, because there's a great explanation of this on the site that sparked the discussion on the forum. This is Sean McHugh's Cambridge in Colour site. I'll include a link to the article on understanding white balance, and while you're there, you might want to check out some other areas of the site. I will briefly, though, explain why we need to white balance. Basically, the human eye already has the best auto white balance functionality built in, so we don't really notice the difference in colours of light. However, our cameras can't do this as accurately, so we need sometimes to give it a hand. It's also important to know when to do this, as the colour of the light in a photograph helps us to understand the conditions under which the image was shot, so we don't always want to standardise it. Light does come in many colours after all. The colour of normal sunlight changes throughout the day, even if there isn't a cloud in the sky. On a clear day, light is going to be much warmer than that on a cloudy day. If we want to ensure that our images look like they're taken on a cloudy day, though, we could continue to shoot in the daylight white balance mode. Also, note that outside, even on a sunny day, although the light is quite evenly balanced during the middle of the day, when the sun is low in the sky in the morning or the evening, the light is much warmer and therefore orange or golden. It's because of this, though, that we call this the golden time or the golden hours. And also because of the magical quality of this light, we don't really want to correct it. Because of this, I often stay in daylight mode whenever I'm outside in natural light. That is, without any artificial light. There are times, though, when not correcting the white balance will give your images a strong colour cast, which is usually not desirable. Standard tungsten light, for example, is much warmer than sunlight, and so we have to set our cameras to balance the difference. This is much like selecting tungsten balance film instead of daylight balance film that is more common. But as with the ISO, with digital we no longer have to change the film. We just need to press a few buttons. Note, though, that there are some photographic tungsten lights available that are already balanced and much cooler or bluer than normal tungsten lights and much closer to daylight. So just setting your camera to tungsten white balance may not produce the desired results here either. other light sources such as light bulbs or fluorescent lighting or even flash have other colour temperatures, which all can be corrected unless you want, of course, to keep the effect that the uncorrected light will give. I should say that I never use auto white balance, where you allow the camera to guess what the white balance should be. I've heard that modern DSLRs are now relatively good at getting white balance correct, much of the time, but I like to keep a little more control over the white balance. This is also because I tend to shoot a lot of bright colours, or the whole frame is often filled with a particular colour, like orange, red, green, and these colours can quite easily fool the camera to thinking that I'm under a different light source. I'd say that probably 90% of the time, instead of using AWB or auto white balance, I shoot using one of the presets. On Canon cameras, you can choose from daylight, shade, cloudy, tungsten light, white fluorescent light, or flash presets. I find these presets to be close enough for the majority of applications. I also sometimes switch to manual white balance mode and select the colour temperature in Kelvin from the camera's menu. For the last few years, my Canon DSLRs also have had the ability to fine-tune white balance based on not just colour temperature, but also by moving towards blue, amber, green or magenta. This is done via the menu on the LCD panel using a two-dimensional grid. On the 5D, for example, you have green on the top, amber on the right, magenta on the bottom and blue on the left. You can move a pointer along the vertical axis to move between the green and magenta in varying degrees, or along the horizontal axis between the blue and amber. You can also move the pointer out in any direction, giving you varying degrees of the combinations, like moving slightly towards the green and amber. You would then, you'd get a mixture of the two colours. I must say, though, that I've never used this feature in the field. This is really for two reasons. One is that I always shoot raw, so I can change the white balance in post-processing if necessary. The other is because I use the custom white balance feature for around 10% of my work, the 10% that I don't use the presets for. This is when I'm not confident that I can get accurate white balance with the presets or selecting the colour temperature. Or I just want to make sure that I get the white balance as good as it can be. In these cases, I use the custom white balance feature, which terminology-wise also falls under manual white balance on the Canon DSLRs. To input a custom white balance, you need to photograph either a white card or a grey card, ensuring that the circle in the centre of the focusing screen, which marks the area used in spot metering, is fully filled with the card and nothing else. The surface of the card will reflect light a little differently depending on the angle, so I usually shoot it to just a slightly angling towards the sun or the light source. Once you've shot an image with your white or grey card in the centre to use as a reference for your white balance, you have to select custom white balance from the camera's menu. The camera will then display the images on your memory card and ask you to select one. If your reference shot was the last one that you took, it will already be displayed on the LCD and you just have to select it. If not, you'll have to navigate to the shot and then select it. After you select the reference image for custom white balance, you also have to select manual white balance in the list where you usually select the other presets. If you don't select this, you'll continue to shoot using the preset or worse still, AWB, if that's what you were using before. After selecting manual white balance, you will continue to use that white balance until you change the selection again. Now, if you only shoot JPEG, you need to use this method to get white balance right in difficult light conditions because the colour of your preferred white is burned into the JPEG when it's processed within your camera and the raw data is thrown away. If you shoot in raw, you can do as I do and still shoot with the custom white balance from the white or grey card to reduce the post-processing effort. However, you can also Just ensure that you have the grey card or the white card in the frame in one shot, and then get the white balance from the card during the post-processing with a colour picker and apply that to all of the raw images that you need to use that white balance for. You've probably noticed that a number of times I've mentioned using a grey card instead of a white card. It doesn't really matter which you use, but the surface needs to be of neutral colour, i.e. it should not have any colour tints whatsoever. And grey apparently reflects all colours through the spectrum equally, making it the better choice. Personally, I don't use white because it can also be highly reflective and can be made falsely white by overexposure. To date, I've used an 18% grey card. 18% grey is also good to meter for accurate exposure, so I always carry one measuring 4 by 5 inches in my photographer's vest pocket. I also attached a Gritag Macbeth mini colour checker card to the edge of my grey card so that I have a colour reference in the shot as well. I have not posted this image in the online gallery as it does not really belong there, but if you're listening in iTunes, the image attached is one that I took in the field earlier this year. I will also link this to a post in the forum so you can see it on my site too if you don't use iTunes. I'll put a link in the show notes. I put the colour checker card in to help me balance the colour when printing too, but the fun thing with doing this is that you can actually select other colours on the card other than the grey or whites, which would work, and when you select these with the colour picker you can create some weird effects. This can actually be a learning experience too, as you can see how the various colours of light would affect the image. If you select red as the reference, for example, the image takes on a harsh blue-green cast. If you select blue, on the other hand, the image takes a hot reddish-orange cast. This helps you to see the colours that counter out other colours, and just helps to get a grasp of the concept in general. Anyway, of the shots made with the custom white balance set earlier, there is one shot in my online gallery which is photo number 619. As usual, you can view the shot in iTunes or on my website by entering 619 into the field on the top page or the podcast page and clicking the orange button, or you can click the thumbnail in the table on my podcast page. Just look for episode 14. We're almost done on white balance in general, and how I set my custom white balance. However, I have one problem with my current method, and that is that the card I have is quite old in design. Being originally to set exposure rather than white balance too, it has a slightly rough surface. This won't really change the image if I simply use the card to set custom white balance in the field, but what I find is that when I click various areas of the card during post-processing, I get slightly different readings. Once again, going back to the thread that sparked this week's podcast, a product called YBAL, that's the first two syllables of white and balance, was discussed and actually ordered by a number of the members, including myself. The YBAL set of cards has white and a number of grey cards, and some inventive ways of either hanging them around your neck or attaching them to your clothes or equipment for easy access. The main reason I've ordered mine in preference to my current method is that the surface of the cards appear to be much smoother than my current card, and also they're designed for white balancing and not for setting exposure. I think I'll still try and find some way of getting my Gritag Macbeth mini colour checker card into the shot as well as the YBAL once it arrives. I'll also include a link to the YBAL site from the thread, so if you're interested in this too, please take a look. So that's about it for this week. As usual, this has been just my take on white balance and what I do in my own photography. If you have any other suggestions or comments, swing by the forum at martinbaileyphotography.com and post them in the thread discussing this. Again, the link is in the show notes. Also, of course, you can post just about anything you like, feedback on the show, general chat, photography-related stuff. You can also contact me directly via private mail from the forum, or if you haven't registered, you can just use one of the contact forms from the top page or the podcast page on my site. Finally, thanks to those that have voted for the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast on Yahoo and the Podcast Alley. If you have cast your vote, thanks very much. If you haven't done it yet and you like the show, please drop by to these sites and do so. Have a great week, happy shooting, and I'll see you next week. Bye-bye. This has been a Martin Bailey Photography Podcast.